Welcome back to a super fantasy football show. I'm John.
And I'm Randy.
Lots happened in the past 2 weeks, Rando.
It's been a busy week.
The Steelers are on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Our super fantasy football league is it's getting tight here.
We got some battles going on for the playoffs.
I'm really excited to get into it. I spent probably half of the day working on a spreadsheet, and I'm terrible at Excel to figure out all the playoff options. But so yeah, excited to get into all that. First off, Rando, what'd you think of SRK?
I had a great time. DC was great. I loved the Airbnb. I loved everything about the trip. My only complaint, and it has nothing to do with the boys, I thought FedEx Field or Northwest Stadium, whatever the hell they call it now, I thought it was a dump.
I guess stadium I didn't have too itself. Many notes on the yeah. yeah. I didn't really have too many notes on the stadium itself. Definitely wasn't spectacular.
We did miss out on. I found out you could DoorDash, or was it DoorDash or Grubhub? You could do one of those two in the stadium to your seat.
No way.
I saw that after the fact. None of us took advantage of it, but
That's so funny. You would have been all over that.
I would have been all over that, but
you would have saved money doing that.
I thought the tailgate setup and all that was wonderful there. I just thought the food in the stadium sucked. I didn't like how it was like one way up, one way down.
Yeah.
But the atmosphere, it felt like a home game, Johnny, down in the bowl.
It did. I think. I'm trying to think the last time we've been to a game that didn't feel like a home game. Was Charlotte like that that apparent?
I was pretty drunk during Charlotte. I don't remember.
I'd have to look at the
video maybe again. Chicago.
Chicago wasn't a takeover.
But Arizona, Tampa,
Vegas was.
Vegas,
for sure.
DC, that all felt like we completely took over.
Yeah. So 4-2 now, is that what we decided we are?
We've been on, I'm just trying to think, what was that, our eighth trip?
Chicago, Tampa.
Or seven.
Arizona, Charlotte.
Hey, wait, I got a picture of the patches.
Vegas. Yeah, I think
this
is our sixth.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven trips.
Seven.
And we've lost. LA. Yeah, we lost in L.A., we lost in Chicago, and that was it. We're 5-2.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And I think for the first time since we started this tradition, we have a Pittsburgh Steelers team that is actually exciting to watch, maybe. I mean, I guess Ben was still exciting. I didn't feel the same juice that I feel now.
Ben was on his last leg.
Yeah. Did we just get 1 year of Ben and then? Well, then we had old Ben, but I think Ben was in Chicago. That was probably our first year, or our last year that we actually had a chance to like do something, and we didn't do shit. But okay, well, yeah, it's
what was your favorite awesome part, Dom? What'd you like about DC?
Honestly, I mean the tailgate was fucking incredible. You absolutely knocked it out of the park. Favorite like place, I enjoyed the first night in Arlington where we just stuck around there and played shuffleboard and bar hopped a little bit.
Let me ask you one more question about the SRK.
Yeah,
which member of the SRK do you think misled you the most on their report for the trip?
Oh, that's a good question.
And I think my vote might shock you.
Well, who's your vote? Because I'm having
my vote
thinking.
Is Ian. I was promised that brewery bar we went to the first night was a traditional German style, going to be like your Hopper House, and it was nothing like a Hopper House. I enjoyed it, but nothing like a Hopper House, Ian.
I mean, it was a little like a Hopper House. You just, like, didn't.
Oh, God, John, they serve beer in a stein. You just assume that there was nothing German about that place.
I think, it was a little less German than I anticipated, but
that bar
still
is about as German as me. 0% German.
Oh man. All right. Well, let's get into it, Rando. We got
We got a
a lot of
lot to
fantasy football
unpack
to talk
here.
about. We do. I think, wow, where's the damn schedule? I feel like we'll just go over the game 2 weeks ago kind of quickly, if that
Yeah.
works for you, and then we'll dive in a little bit more into this past week. But so that was week 10 that we that was the SRK week, and then we skipped a week. So week 10, technical fouls got their asses kicked to the tanking Altman and Sons. They lost 112 to 78 and a half for technical fouls. The Real Americans also lost 74 to Denny Irvine's Gatorade 141. Hawk Tua fell to the Olifants 88 and a half to 115 and a half. And Oink fell 111 to the Running Fools 125 and a half. So that was 2 weeks ago. That was SRK week. And then this past week, we'll just well, I guess we'll go game by game. We'll start with the most boring game, which was Hawk Tua versus the technical fouls. This one was actually pretty funny because almost as if on cue, the second that Didiano texted in the group chat saying the Hawk Tuas might be headed to their first win. That was 3:31 p.m. on Sunday. By 5:30 p.m., completely out of it.
Sure.
That
They
was
had them. They just couldn't
pretty
finish.
fun.
They couldn't close it.
And that is unfortunate because they fall to 11-0.
No, 0-11.
Oh yes, no, you're right.
I know I'm right.
0-11. 0 for. Jeez, that is pretty fucking bad. And then on the technical fouls were firing on absolutely all cylinders over there, putting up 147 points. Yeah, a real statement game for the fouls who need to keep stringing together some wins to make the playoffs. We'll get into that more later, but that's a huge win for them. And then next, let's talk about your boring ass game. I think 67 and a half to Oink's 111. Oink improves to 7-4. You fall to 2-9. Woof, Rando, what happened?
Which just wasn't a good game. Hitched my wagon once again this week to the Steelers. Brought old reliable Mark Andrews back, figuring maybe he could help bolster the boys. Did not help. The odds were not in my favor. David had more firepower than I did, and it helped. He had T. Higgins 24.5 points, Puka Nacua 21.5, close personal friend Josh Allen 23. I mean, the Oink's here to play now. I think they shook the injury bug. They're here to play.
They did. They still, I feel like there's still some concern there because up until who was their last player that they had? Was it T. Higgins, I think? They were projected to beat you, obviously. 67 and a half is fucking pathetic. But I think it was up until the Monday night game, they were only projected to get, I think like 95-ish or something like that, maybe closer to 100. And then obviously T. Higgins blew the fuck up along with the rest of the Bengals. I guess that was Sunday night because the Texans and Dallas played on Monday night.
I mean, in all honesty, this game could have been a lot worse for me had David put in Jamison Williams and CeeDee Lamb and made some other changes, but he ran away with it. It wasn't even a game. I'm embarrassed. It's 2 weeks in a row, the real Americans have embarrassed themselves and let the fan base down.
Tale as old as time. All right, well, let's get to an actual exciting game. Let's get to the Iron City Olifants versus Altman and Sons Incorporated. This one, I tell you what, Altman and Sons Incorporated would not let up.
We're not going out without a fight.
Every time I thought I pulled away, he pulled it right back, and he actually somehow managed to tie the game by the end of the Sunday games. But I still had Nico Collins on Monday night, who only put up 7 points, but that was enough. So the Oliphants are now 10-1, and Altman and Sons Incorporated fall to 3-8, despite probably one of their best performances of the season, if I had to guess. Just going off vibes, but.
Yeah, you know what? He had a great game, and kudos to Eric. Eric hit on some questionable choices. I don't know that I would have had the balls to start Bo Nix. Was only projected 17 points. He shattered his projection and ended up scoring a season high for Bo Nix, 28 points. Now, you could say starting Mike Williams against the Baltimore Ravens wasn't a wise decision. Put up a goose egg, and that could have been the difference for Eric. Had Eric started Green Bay receiver Christian Watson with 17 points, funny, you might have been looking at a loss. But you know, here on this podcast, we don't deal in hypotheticals.
That's right.
Strictly,
fortunately for me. Fortunately for me, because, yeah, you're absolutely right. I feel like that's, like, looking at my squad, you know, there's some changes I could have made. I could have put Sam Darnold in to get a few more points than Lamar Jackson, but realistically, I'm never going to fucking do that.
Nah.
So, but he, I mean, he could have, like you said, put Christian Watson in for Mike Williams. All of a sudden, that's a win. So, fortunate for the Oliphants, he didn't do that. And first place in the whole league, the Oliphants and Albany Suns, off the top of my head, are sixth, I think. And now let's get to the real game of the week, Reno. This one lived up to expectations, I think.
It did, and I'm not going to lie. I was completely shocked by this outcome.
This one was so incredibly back and forth. So the Running Fools ended up winning over the Denny Irvine's Gatorade, 130.5-120. The Fools move up to 8-3, and Denny Irvine falls to 7-4. But... Well, yeah, take us through your thoughts on this game, Rando.
Sorry, I was looking to see if I had any incriminating evidence from Tom where he was chirping Brian, but I couldn't find any. But trying to see the Running Fools, they are who we thought they were. Joe Mixon, 33 points. What a Joe Mixon put the team on his back. How Brian was down what? 40 or 30 some?
I think it was like 35-ish.
Yeah, going into Monday night, and Joe Mixon had 33 of those. Trying to see, the other one was Fairbairn, the kicker for Houston. He had 10. So that's your 43 points right there. But I mean, Brian's team, I mean, yeah, he had Scary Terry from Washington at 1.5. Jonathan Taylor had a down game, 5.5 points. But trying to see. He still hasn't quite figured out that quarterback position, but only a 2-point difference, so you can't blame him there. But Brian's team looks very good. They're competitive. They're still a threat in this league. Tom, on the other hand, you know, great outing for Tom. You score 120 points, you expect to win the game.
You hope to, yeah.
And, you know, but Tom had another record-setting day from his kicker, Chris Boswell. 24 points from the Boz.
Yeah, he did. Even before, you know, the Monday night game, this one was already pretty back and forth. I remember the Running Fools were up pretty early, and then it was almost over by Sunday night because the Bengals were sucking ass. I think that's when Brian said something in the Discord.
Yes.
I don't quite remember what he said, but clearly Joe Burrow heard him and turned on the fucking Jets, only to Jamar Chase. And then Jamar Chase put up 22.5, and that catapulted Denny Irvine into the lead. Like you said, it was 120 to like 85-ish.
Yeah.
On Monday, going into Monday night. So that was really funny. and then watching Joe Mixon score twice in the first quarter.
Yep.
And even still, I was like, okay, well, I think he still needed 5 more points or something to win. And I was like, okay, you know, maybe they'll, you know, that's just the way NFL games go. You know, sometimes you're the
picture
hot
Tommy John sitting there, Fox Chapel Yacht Club, watching a Monday night game. He's got to be up early for work. The boy can't get any rest. He's got to sit there and he's got to watch that Monday night game to completion. Just sweating bullets, seething.
And like, and they even gave him hope again because it was 115-120 mm-hmm. for a while. And you know, you huff on that hopium, and it is probably one of the more brutal losses so far this year.
We should start live camming the game of the week. Do a live stream, and we just set up a camera on Monday night. If the game comes down to Monday night, we set up a pro in like Tom's house and Brian's house, and we just get live reactions as it happens.
I like that idea a lot.
Now, John, I will say this again. We're talking about hypotheticals here, but Tinkering Tommy strikes again. Had he not gone with Ricky Pearsall, who had a goose egg on the day, and started either Brian Thomas Jr. or Josh Downs, you know, we're sitting here talking about a tie, or we're talking about a Denver Runs Gatorade win. So, but hey, guess what, Tom? Doesn't matter. You tinkered a bit too much this week. Brian got the win, a well-deserved win, a hard-fought win. Kudos to the running fools.
Well, it definitely adds some playoff pressure on a Denny Irvine that I don't think the running fools would have had the same pressure even if they had lost this game. But yeah, it really makes things interesting for Denny Irvine. So we will we'll see what happens there. All right, Rando, that's last week games. Let's move on to, well, before we get too far, I think it makes sense to do mail time now.
Mail time,
a message
time.
From our very own commissioner, reminiscing on, or I guess reflecting on his performance this year and in years past. So let's hear what the commissioner has to say.
I have come to the very humbling conclusion that I am the James Franklin of the Super Friends Fantasy Football League. Yes, I've started off beating Didiano every single year. Yes, I'm something like 15-0 against him all time or other teams that have losing records. But like Franklin is 4-17 against Ohio State and Michigan and 1-11 against Ohio State or something like that. I am 1-12. Against the Olifants and the Fools going back to 2022, which was my last playoff year. 2022, lost to the Olifants twice in the regular season, got killed in the first round of the playoffs, beat the Fools once, lost to them again. Don't think the Fools were that great that season anyway, which is like Franklin beating Michigan when they were coached by Brady Hoke or some other bozo. Last year, I sucked 1-0-2 against both of them. This year, should have had a good team. Big game. Can't blame Big Noon Kickoff for this one. 0-2 against them both. If I was any more of a quitter, you could call me Tom Haley, and I would give my best player away, even though I have one of the highest scoring teams in the league for absolutely no reason. But I'm not a quitter.
Oh, man. Fantastic from the commish. And looking back, well, at least this year, he's absolutely right. He's got four losses this year, and they're both to Iron City Olifants and the Running Fools. So the West is tough, man. The West is tough.
This year, the West is from top to bottom. Well, sorry. The West from number one, two, and three is pretty strong. The bottom is the bottom. Yeah. You know what? There's a power bottom. It's a power.
He definitely is. He's powering that bottom. That is for damn sure. Thank you to the commish for sending that in. If you have any thoughts, feel free to email us at superfantasyfootballshow@gmail.com. And that includes Rando. We're going into week 12. That means the end of the regular season is coming up, which means we got the Johnnies coming up.
We got the Johnnies coming up. Favorite Tommy.
I would absolutely love if everyone out there listening, send in your own awards, your own Johnnies, for yourselves, for other teams this season. Love to hear what you think. I would prefer them in audio format, and preferably one audio per award. But you can send emails. I'll take that.
And for all you members of the league, if you're going to send in an audio message, maybe not send multiple cuts of different takes. Just send your best take. We only need one.
Send your best take.
That's not directed at anyone specific, by the way. That's just for everyone.
It's a rule for everyone. Yeah, I think it's a good rule for everyone to follow. So, and that email again is superfantasyfootballshow@gmail.com. Let us know what awards you think everyone deserves. Excited for that episode. All right, Rando, that's enough for mail time. Let's get into League Pulse, which is really going to dominate the conversation today because we have a lot of playoff drama to get through.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's start off. Let's go through, because we do have some teams that have been eliminated, Rando.
We do.
So, unfortunately, teams that have been eliminated from the 2024 Super Fantasy Football playoffs. Leading the way, Hawk Tua, 0-11. Good Lord. Eliminated from the playoffs. Thank God for that. Next, we had the Real Americans, 2-9, eliminated from the playoffs. And lastly, Albin & Sons Incorporated have officially been eliminated from the playoffs, Rando.
It's been a rough road for these three teams, but it's time we got snipped. We got the boot.
Well, I would say fortunately, maybe for you guys, you can still play spoiler. Because with those three teams eliminated, that means there are five teams still in contention, four spots. Only one team has clinched so far, the Iron City Olifants. So I guess four teams, three spots left. And frankly, it's pretty much anyone's game, Rando.
Well, I wanted to ask you just a quick... So I noticed, yes, you did clinch the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have not clinched the number one seed.
That's correct. I've just clinched a playoff spot.
With 2 weeks left, John, I guess the ESPN saying there's still a chance.
There's still a chance. And like I said, I have a whole spreadsheet to figure out exactly what needs to happen. So let's get into a little bit of that. We talked about teams that are eliminated and teams that are locked. That's the Iron City Olifants. Currently, Rando, division leaders, Iron City Olifants are 10-1. That would make them the one seed if the playoffs ended today. And Denny Irvine's Gatorade lead the East at 7-4. And they have the same record as the technical fouls. But points, Rando, are the tiebreaker.
Oh, okay. Good.
And that's going to be very important going forward because... frankly, none of the point totals are like that close in terms of playoff tie breaking. But we'll get into that a bit more later. And then the current wild cards, the Running Fools at 8-3 would be your 3 seed. Oink, 7-4 would be the 4 seed. And on the outside looking in currently, the Technical Fouls also at 7-4. And again, that's that tiebreaker.
Now, I know you're going to get into playoff scenarios, but the only guaranteed way for the technical fouls to enter the playoffs is to win out, and they need Tom to drop a game.
They actually have a couple scenarios that can get them in. So let's go ahead and get into that. Let's start with, if you don't mind, the Running Fools, Rando.
Yes, that's perfect.
So they are currently the third seed, and I believe ESPN has them. Yeah, they have the second highest chance to make the playoffs at 99%. Mm-hmm. They're currently 8-3. And so if they win one game this week or next week, that essentially secures them a spot in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all they need to do to get in. Unless there's like an insane point differential. That's all they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
worst possible outcome for the Fools. If they lose twice and the technical fouls and Oink tie in week 12, and then the other bubble teams win in week 13, they could miss the playoffs. So that's that 1% chance.
Wow.
That's absolutely worst case scenario, though. And I don't think Oink and technical fouls will do that, because they could also get fucked over from doing an intentional tie. So that's for the Fools. Best case scenario, if they went out and the Olifants lose the rest of their games, they could potentially swipe the first overall seed with the points as the tiebreaker there. Because I think, but yeah, they would need to win both games. Olifants need to lose both. So that's your Running Fools update. Can you tell us, do you have the schedules up right now? Can you tell us who they play next?
I do not, but I can get that for you.
I believe they have a relatively easy schedule. I think they finished the year with the technical fouls.
The Running Fools have the Real American coming up.
Okay, easy
and
win.
And then they end the year with the technical fouls.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, but it kind of seems like they'll be able to win one of those two. But we'll see. All right, next rando, let's get to the East leader, Denny Irvine's Gatorade, currently 7-4, just narrowly missing out on that win in week 11. So for them to secure a playoff spot, they need to get one win and not get outscored by Oink or the technical fouls over the next 2 weeks. And Oink would need to beat them by 50-ish points over the next 2 weeks, and the technical fouls by about 150 points to somehow fuck them over in that scenario. But I don't think that's going to happen. The worst possible scenario, he's got the Olifants in week 12, if that's a loss, and Hawktua week 13, if that is somehow a loss, and if Oink and technical fouls both win in week 13, all of a sudden Denny Irvine is on the outside looking in. But pretty good odds that they're going to beat Hawktua, I would think.
If Hawktua comes to play, you never know. So this is a big week, week 12 coming up. We got Oink versus the technical fouls.
Huge, massive playoff implications, Rando. And let's see. So Oink, because of that point differential, they really have the upper edge here. And they have an easier schedule also. So Oink currently has about 1,250 points, and the fouls have about 1,150. So about 100, well, an exactly 100 point lead there, actually, looking at it. So the technical fouls really need to, you know, somehow jump Oink. So for Oink to most easily make the playoffs, I think, they need one win and a technical fouls loss to make the playoffs. So they could accomplish that next week in their game. Mm-hmm. Now, worst possible outcome, if they lose out, they will almost definitely miss the playoffs. But, Rando, let's take a look at who they have in week 13. They have Albin and Sons Incorporated. So, not a pushover.
No.
Because, you know, they gave me a game this week. So, we'll see what happens there. And then, best possible outcome for Oink, if they win out and Denny loses out, then they become the 2 seed. So,
interesting.
Well, no, that's not true, because they're in the West. Okay, they would be the 3 seed. I guess 3 seed is their ceiling.
Yes.
Okay. And then technical fouls. They need to beat Oink in week 12, and it would be best for them if Oink would lose out, or if the Fools. Or beat the Fools in week 13 and Denny Irvine's Gatorade loses out. The technical fouls are in the playoffs. So they have a couple paths, none of them great. But if they lose to Oink, they're essentially eliminated.
Who wants it more, boys? Who wants it more?
And then on the flip side, if they went out and Denny Irvine loses out, all of a sudden, technical fouls are the 2-seed rando.
Correct.
So, you know, things are kind of all over the place here. I think the only
it's going to be a wild couple weeks.
It is. I'd say the Fools are the only team that should be feeling good. I don't know, Rando. What are you thinking? Who do you think is going to?
I mean, obviously the Ollie Fonz are a guarantee. The Running Fools, they're a guarantee. It's going to come. I don't know. Tom, or the Denny Irvine's Gatorade and the technical fouls. You got to win. Just win, baby.
That's right.
I like all the scenarios, but if you're Tom or you're the technical fouls, you cannot lose.
You
have to win to control your own destiny. Otherwise, so hypothetically, mm-hmm. say Tom, is there any scenario where, because right now Oink is the 4th seed.
Correct? Yep.
Is there any scenario that if Tom would lose out, would Oink jump Tom?
Yes, absolutely. So if Denny Irvine, that would be basically Denny Irvine's Gatorade worst scenario. They lose to the Olifants and Hawk Tua, and then Oink and Technical Fouls both win in week 13, they would miss the playoffs.
So, and then that one game that Oink or the technical fouls would drop next week wouldn't matter.
Correct.
Or this week.
Correct, yeah.
Interesting. So, hey, boys, you're in control of your own destiny. If you win, you're in.
Although, Tom also would need to lose this week and next week.
Well, that's what I mean, though. If you really can't afford to lose.
You really can't.
All three of you.
It's going to be really exciting. And let's go through, I guess we'll skip the Fools because they're essentially in. So of the remaining three teams, the Technical Fouls, Oink, and Denny Irvine's Gatorade, Technical Fouls and Oink, like we said, play each other in week 12. And then in week 13, Oink has Altman and Sons, who are 3-8, but feisty. And the Technical Fouls, they have the daunting task of beating the Running Fools in week 13. And then Denny Irvine's Gatorade have the Olifants this week, and next week they have Hawk Tua. So of those three schedules, Rando, which of those schedules would you prefer to make the playoffs?
Oh, right now I would prefer Oink.
Mm-hmm.
David's got a tough matchup coming up this week against the technical fouls. And then he's got Altman and Sons. Altman and Sons, yes, they're competitive. Yes, they could play spoiler, but that's a more favorable matchup. The technical fouls having to go through Oink, then bring it right back the next week and go through the Running Fools. That's a daunting task.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Tom has who this week again?
He has the Olifants.
Yeah. Oh. Ah, you know what, though, Tommy?
But then he plays Hawk Tua.
The Olifants. But then he plays Hawk Tua. But you know what? How sweet, John. Just think of the content. How sweet would it be if you beat the Denny Irvine's Gatorade this week,
mm-hmm.
and then Hawk Tua finally reaches that brass ring and knocks Denny Irvine's Gatorade out of the playoffs.
Oh, man.
It'd be the cherry on top of Tom's storybook season.
That would be really funny. That would be really funny.
Tua, I know you're going to listen to this 3 days late. I speak directly to you now.
Start
show
preparing.
Show me something this week. Or show me something this week that makes me pick Hawk Tua against Denny Irvine's Gatorade in week 13.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see it come out and prove it this week.
Yeah, if I'm Hawk Tua, I'm I'm skipping week 12. I'm going right ahead to week 13 because week 12 doesn't matter. You're going up against Albany & Sons Incorporated. Completely relevant game. Week 13, you can play spoiler. And, you know, go start looking. Who's he got on bye? What positions is he going to need? Go ahead and snatch up those positions. You know, find, you know, some good matchups in free agency that you can go ahead and swipe. That's what I'm doing if I'm Hawk Tua.
John, I want to look at one thing while this has nothing to do with. Yeah, hey, this might be a little looking forward. I don't know if you want to.
Let's look a little forward.
I don't know if I want to jump the gun. I don't want to ask you how the soup is made. But you're going into the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
It's round one.
Uh-huh.
Your starting quarterback is on bye.
Oh, you are asking how the soup is made.
Any insights into what be going through the mind over there at Iron City Olifants HQ? Or,
well, you know, here's the thing. I've been trying really hard to keep it buttoned up this year. I don't know if I'm doing a good job, but I'm trying, you know, keep things professional. Head to the grindstone. You know, ultimately, this is kind of a game of luck. And you're just trying to, you know, put your best foot forward, do what you can. So I, you know, but I'll just say the Olifants are on top of things. We are not concerned. If you want to go ahead and take a look at this week, I put up 129 points. Lamar Jackson got 14. Derrick Henry got 10. So, you know, if that's what I have to replace to put up 129 points, I think I can manage to do that.
I was just curious. And then you seem to be loaded up on Baltimore Ravens this year. You got another major question mark in Derrick Henry. I know we're jumping the gun a little bit, but yeah.
Well,
just some food for thought. Yeah, you get that sneaky fourth seed. Yeah, I don't know whether it's Oink, whether it's the technical fouls, whether at this point it's Denny Irvine's Gatorade. Yeah.
Well, I guess all I have to say is that if I can put up 129 points with, you know, whoever the fuck at quarterback and who's on my bench that I could put in, Garrett Wilson for Derrick Henry, make that swap. I think I can, you know, recover 10 points from Derrick Henry and 14 points from Lamar Jackson, put up 129 and have a good day.
All right. Hey, I was just curious. Just asking.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. It's pretty personal, but it's okay. You're a good friend.
Now, John.
Yeah.
Speaking of first place, last place, all that good stuff in the division.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little bit of a history lesson for you.
Okay. Yeah. Lay it on us.
And I'm going to start with a question. In the league, who do you think, current or ex-member, has the most first place divisional finishes in the regular season?
The most first place?
And I'll tell you what, I was surprised by this. It's not who you would think.
Okay. I'm going to go technical fouls. They have a pretty rich history.
The technical fouls only have one first place divisional finish,
wow.
And that is 2023.
Wow, I take back what I said. Okay, who is the most?
And just so you know, in 2023, the technical fouls were the one seed and they were first in the East. The most comes from, it's a tie actually.
Okay.
Between Eric of Altman and Sons and you.
Really?
You both have 4 first place divisional finishes.
Wow. I'm very surprised by that. I was thinking I couldn't think of another first place division finish.
So Eric's came in 2020, 2019, 2017, and 16.
Okay.
And yours came in 2022, 2021, 2020, and 2018.
Wow. I had quite the string there. 3 years in a row.
Now, the next closest, there's 2 and 2, and then everyone else has 1 first place finish.
Okay.
Now, Johnny, on the flip side,
uh-huh.
Last place divisional finishes.
Yes.
The
last place divisional or last place
Last place divisional finishes.
Okay.
So there's one team in the lead with last place divisional finishes. Can you name that team?
Got to be Hawk Tua.
You are incorrect.
Really?
Hawk Tua only has two last place divisional finishes, which this year is going to become three.
Okay.
But that would still not put him in the lead. The Real American holds that title.
I should have guessed.
Four last place divisional finishes in 23, 20, 19, and 15. Now, John, everyone else has one last place finish, two last place finishes. You, Glancy, and Austin all have three last place divisional finishes. Can you name the two teams, or sorry, the two owners who have zero last place divisional finishes?
Did you say I had three last place finishes?
You have three last place divisional finishes.
Okay. And who has zero?
Yeah, there are two league members that have zero.
Well, it's got to be the Running Fools, I feel.
Correct. That's one.
And
this one, we really don't have a large history to go off of in the modern era. So you might not get this one.
All right, later on.
It's Kevin Blough.
Kevin Blough.
The history only goes back to 2015, and Blough had a first place divisional finish in 2015, and then he was excommunicated from the league. So, yeah. And then, Johnny, Now that we're on the topic, last place, worst records historically all time.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because I wanted you to look this up because Didiano Hawk Tua is 0-11, as we talked about earlier.
No team in our league history in the modern era has gone defeated.
No shit.
Has not won a single solitary game.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, no.
The close. There's one team that has only won one game in our league's history. And that was in 2018. A now defunct team, sit on my balls, team owner Austin Ramsey, went 1-11. And I believe that was Austin's last year in the league. No. Who replaced Austin?
Didiano, I think.
Oh, so I'm wrong. Okay, Brian replaced Blough. Okay.
I think so. I think that's how that happened.
And then the next closest worst record I could find was in 2020. The Real American went 2-10.
Wow.
Now, John, I'm going to keep this history lesson going.
Okay. I'm still East in
versus
shock.
West.
Okay, yeah.
East versus West. Which division has produced the most champions?
Ooh, that's interesting. Because I feel like Brian moved conferences.
In the nine-year modern era, John, we have obviously nine champions.
Yes.
How many came from the East? How many came from the West?
Okay, I'm not going to think too hard. I'll say five from the West, four from the East.
Wrong.
Okay. What is it?
There are three championships from the East.
Okay.
And that is me in 2021, Eric in 2020, and Brian in 2017. The West has six championships, and that was Chez in 2015, Eric in 2016, Brian in 18, Brian in 19, you in 22, and Brian in 2023.
Damn. So Brian does have one on both sides.
Yeah, Brian has one in the East and the other three championships are in the West.
Wow. He must be the only one to have both division championship trophies.
He's the only one to have, both.
Remind me, if he moves and he ends up on the East side? Who would get bumped?
I believe if Brian would move east of the city.
Like, say he goes to Murraysville.
If he goes to Murraysville, that would leave...
It's got to be Eric.
Eric or Chez.
Eric or Chez.
Or no, Eric or Tom. You'd have to somehow get a map out and draw a line and see how it works.
Let's look this up real quick.
Got a little map here. And there's some rumor that's been talked about of... maybe getting rid of the divisions. Commissioner Glancy, I hope you don't. I love the divisional format.
I'm into the divisions. I don't know why. I mean, it doesn't really matter, but...
Johnny, zoom in on that.
Yeah, okay, let's see here.
There's the Highland Park Bridge.
Yeah, so he's like in this area. And...
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm going to say down. It would be... Tom is, see where it says 28? That little, yeah.
Yeah, he's right there.
Tom would be a line right there. So I would say Eric would move over to the west
Eric
based off that.
To the west. Interesting. Wow. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. I'm just trying to see if there's any likelihood of me somehow getting into the east.
Nah, not unless I move into that loft in Paul Lumber. You'd be east of me.
Okay, yeah, so I'm... All right, cool.
So, one other thing, just for you boys on the bubble or still in the hunt for the second, third, fourth seed in the playoffs, I want to let you know a couple fun facts. The first place, the number one seed, in 9 years, has only won a championship 5 times.
In 9 years?
In 9 years, first place, the number one seed, has, so in 2020.
Seems like decent odds.
Yeah, first place in the East. Oh, sorry, not the number one seed. First place divisional finish, sorry.
Okay.
Eric was first in the East in 2020. He won a championship. I was first in the East and the number one seed in 2021 and won a championship. Brian in 2023 was number one in the West, but the number two seed in the playoffs, won a championship. John, you were number two seed, number one in the West, won a championship. And Chez in 2016, or no, wait. Is my list wrong? Oh, that should have been highlighted on Eric, not on Glenn.
Come on.
Eric was number one in the West and the number one seed in the playoffs.
Okay.
And won a championship. So just because you're the number one or you finish first doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win that title.
That's right. You still got to work for it.
And another thing, John. Mm-hmm. For our one league member who's been in a league high four championship games and suffered 4 losses, just to give you a little history lesson, Tommy, it's not all gloom and doom yet, buddy. You still have a shot at the championship game. In 2023, Tom lost in the championship and was the number 3 seed, 3rd in the East. In 2022, Tom was the number 1 seed, 1st in the East. In 2020, Tom was the number 4 seed, 2nd in the East. And in 2018, he was the number 1 seed, 1st in the East. He's 0-4 in fantasy football championship games.
0-4. Oh, man. Let's make it
0-5. Boy, just because you're not number 1 doesn't mean you can't get to the dance.
I want him to lose again in the championship this year.
Oh, and this is the other thing I wanted to tell you. Mm-hmm. 3 out of 4 of Brian's championships that he has won, only one of them, which was in 2023, was Brian first in the West, and he was the number 2 seed in the playoffs. Every other finish for Brian, or championship for Brian, he was the number 3 seed in the playoffs, and he finished 2nd in the West. And one time he finished 2nd in the East. But Brian won all those 3 back-to-back-to-back championships as the number 3 seed in the playoffs. It can be done, Tom. No need to panic.
Well,
technical fouls. It can be done. No need to panic. Oink. It can be done. No need to panic. I believe in you boys.
I don't think actually Oink can get the 3 seed.
I'm just saying, you don't get, you could be 3. I'm trying to see, has anyone ever, well, no one in the modern era has ever won a championship from the number 4 seed.
Okay, that makes sense. That's the worst. That's always the worst seed going in.
And no one has won a championship being 3rd in their division. Every championship won in the modern era, you've either been 1st or 2nd in your division.
Okay.
Or, well, in general.
Interesting. All right, so if that 3rd team from the West sneaks in, they'll be battling history there. Thanks for looking into all that, Rando. Should we get to next week's games?
I'm in. Let's pick them.
All right, let's do it. This shit's already getting too long.
What are we at for the fans at home?
50. Well, I got to edit some out. 54-ish.
Oh, good, good. I set this for 4 hours.
All right, let's start with the bullshit game that no one fucking cares about. Hawk Tua versus Altman Sons Incorporated. Completely meaningless game. I'm not even going to think about it too hard. Hawk Tua has sucked ass all season. Altman and Sons goes to 4-8, and Hawk Tua 0-12. One game away from Destiny, baby.
Oh, you waiting for me?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
You think Hawk Tua is going to run away with this?
I do. No. I said I thought they're going to lose.
Oh, I thought you said it was a game of destiny for Hawk Tua.
Well, next week will be a game of destiny to seal 0-13.
Based off the current projections, Altman and Sons got some work to do.
They do, but I'm not worried about it.
But how much work is a team that's in tank mode going to be doing? That's where I fear.
I mean, he sure tried his damnedest to beat me last week, so I hope he keeps that same fucking energy in week 12. Altman and Sons Incorporated.
I'm going to piggyback right off you, John. I think Altman and Sons takes this game. But I want to say, with a but, Hawk Tua, come out and show me something this week. This is a big statement week for you. Big statement. The storyline writes itself. David versus Goliath. Show me something this week, Hawk Tua. I believe in you. Spit on that thing.
All right. That's way too much about that game. Let's get next to the Real Americans versus the Running Fools. Again, I'm going to keep this one short. You're currently a 46.2 point underdog. That's right. And the last matchup was actually pretty close, 101.5 to 109, but you lost that one. You're going to lose this one. Running Fools advance to 9-3 on the season and secure their spot in the playoffs.
You couldn't have said it any better yourself, but I will say this. I have a, can you bring up my, bring up my little head-to-head.
Oh, this down here?
Yeah. So when I go into a slump, do I not bounce right back?
You do, yeah. You have a couple down games, and then you usually pick it up. And you're.
I'll tell you what, Johnny. I'm still taking the Running Fools in this, but I don't think back-to-back slumps from the Real American is the standard. The standard is the standard. The Real Americans are going to bounce back here. We're going to give the Running Fools a little run for their money. But I think the Running Fools have that edge, and they're going to continue their push to the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah, actually, looking at your chart here, you're correct. Every time you put up a 56 or a 66 point, the next week you usually break 100. So let's see what happens. All right, next, let's get to the Iron City Olifants versus Danny Irvine's Gatorade. Pretty huge implications for Danny Irvine's, although, I'm not trying to, lose any more games either. I'm trying to go 12-1. Really tough week for Danny Irvine's Gatorade, actually, because Jamar Chase, there it is. He's on bye. this week along with Brian Thomas Jr. And I kind of think that's Tom's secret weapon other than Chris Boswell. So I'm going with myself. I'm taking the Ollie Fonts. 11-1, baby.
John, when I look at it, there's no sense in overthinking it. There's no sense in tinkering. You have the advantage in every category except for one. And, you know, right now, Tom is, what, a 30-point dog in this fight? I'm going to do something I've rarely done, John.
You're going to pick against me.
I'm going to do something I've rarely done on this podcast. I feel like we've been hard on the kid. At least I have. I think David's been hard on the kid. I'm going to give Tom some credit. I'm going to take Tom in this one. Okay. I think Tom might be able to tinker enough with his lineup that he makes this competitive. I don't think he obliterates you. I don't think he, runs away with it. But I think Tom might be able, if anyone could do it, Tom could do it. Tom could tinker with this lineup and get it closer where he sneaks out a win.
Well, I mean, you're somewhat correct. He is my sole loss on the season in week five. Beat me 140 to 125.5. I do kind of think Ja'Marr Chase being on bye, that's going to be...
That hurts.
That's really tough for him. He's been huge for him. And I don't know if you've heard, but since our last matchup, he also gave me his best player. So,
correct.
You know, we'll see what happens, but...
Look, John, the Steelers are in Derrick Henry's head. That man hadn't fumbled a ball in 538 carries. They're in his head. He's going to have the drop skis.
Well, we'll see what happens. Since we've been talking about head-to-head matchups, I checked this out earlier, and I believe I have the advantage barely over Tom, 6-5. So he's been, you know, pretty much my equal this year. So we'll see.
I'm going to take Tom. I think Tom sneaks it out. The Denny Irvine's Gatorade cannot afford a loss. They can't afford it. If you got to ask Tom, you can't afford it. Forget about the playoff scenarios. Winning, you're in, Tom. Winning, you're in. Keep tinkering with that lineup. Do what you do best. Let's write that story, and let's get you back to the championship game, buddy.
All right, let's get to our last game, the game of the week.
The game of the week.
The technical fouls at 7-4 versus Oink at 7-4. Rando, we went over the playoff implications already. Huge fucking matchup. What are your thoughts on this game?
We got a barn burner here developing, John. The technical fouls are projected 103.9. to Oink's 96.9. Now, David has yet to make a move in the quarterback department.
Oh, he's got a lot of buys. Holy shit.
He's got a lot of buys this week. Neither team can really afford a loss here. You know, Chez, the technical fouls, they're only beating Oink in 1, 2, 3, 4. Four out of
three categories, but
four
overall.
Oh, sorry, three categories,
but projected overall to win.
Yeah, and you know,
so you got to imagine Oink is going to get another, let's say, 14, 15 points in his projections once he replaces Josh Allen.
He's got a lot
of tough buys, though. He has T. Higgins on bye, Devontae Adams, Bijan Robinson. Man, this is what fucking brutal.
Where's the waiver order? Right here.
Yeah.
Hawk Tua, myself, Altman and Sons, and Matthew Chez. If you're listening, boys, we're all ahead of Oink in the waiver wire. Feel free to go out and snag one of them quarterbacks out there. Plenty to pick from, boys. You got Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, Geno Smith, Anthony Richardson, You got Tua. If anyone feels like snagging a quarterback, I would love to see Oink have to start like Tommy DeVito or Caleb Williams or Jameis Winston.
Who did you say? What's the waiver order again?
It's let me go back to it. It's not waiver report. Hold on. Damn Steve Jobs computer.
Sorry, I should have paid attention the first time.
No. Understood. I like to ramble. The waiver order this week is Hawk Tua at 1, The Real American at 2, Altman and Sons at 3, and Technical Fouls at 4, with Oink at 5.
Technical Fouls. I mean, I feel like Gentleman's Rules, I'm not going to tell him how to run his fucking team. By the time he listens to this, the waiver report will be what it is. But if the technical fouls, if they're paying any attention at all, they better be getting a quarterback, I think.
Yeah, that I would say so. But you know, we're in for a dogfight, John. Let me get back to this the box score real quick.
Yep.
Right here, box score. Let me see. That's not what I want. Full box score. That's what I want.
There it is.
Right. Chez's roster doesn't conclude until Monday night with the Chargers against Baltimore. Chez got some players on Thursday night, right?
He's got a shit ton of buys, too, I'm just realizing.
Yeah.
Tank Bigsby, James Cook, Khalil Shakir, Joe Burrow, Travis Etienne. I mean, I think three of those are always starters. That's tough.
And you know what, John? This game could come down to Monday night. We're sitting there watching Monday night football.
Man.
Seeing if J.K. Dobbins and Zay Flowers can pull out the win for the technical fouls.
Ooh, if that happens, I feel like we need to have a watch party. This game is huge.
This is a very tough week for me to call. On one hand, you're looking at a man in Oink who has never won a fantasy football championship. He puts in hours. This man should be getting overtime for the amount of hours he puts in behind the scenes, dealing with our bullshit and running this league to perfection.
Yeah, sometimes he's a fucking tyrant, but point taken.
Hey, sometimes you got to put the hammer down when you need to. But going against a former league champion in the technical fouls, who's been on a bit of a championship drought. Matthew winning his championship 9 years ago in 2015. So I'm going to do it.
He's doing it.
My mind is telling me no, but my body, John, my body is telling me yes. Come Monday Night Football, Oink is going to hand deliver defeat to the technical fouls. Wow. I'm taking Oink. This may be the year Oink gets the monkey off his back.
Wow.
It's the year of the monkey. Not the year of the monkey. It's the year of the pig. I'm oink, oink, oinking all the way to the playoffs.
Oh, man. Well, Oink has definitely had the advantage on the head-to-heads this year. But I don't know, man. Technical fouls, they've been on the up and up. The little hit or miss, but still, I think this is kind of the season from hell for Oink. So I'm going to take the technical fouls. I think it's going to come down to a close matchup for Oink next week to make the playoffs. We'll see.
Hey, I like it. Do you keep stats of our picks on the season?
No, I used to. I
was going to say, I don't think this year I've picked against the technical fouls all season.
You rarely do. You like the fouls, that's for sure.
I think I might have just turned heel.
It's going to destroy his whole season.
I'm sorry. You know what? No, I'm not sorry, Matthew. I got to go. Like I said, my mind's telling me no. My body's telling me yes. I'm taking Oink.
Oh, man. Rando, I am so excited to see what happens. I hope things stay interesting. I like when we have to break everything down and it comes down to tiebreakers and shit.
It's gonna get intense.
Other than Iron City Olifants, they can go ahead and run away with it. That's fine by me. All right. Anything else for us, Rando?
I got nothing. I'm all out of notes.
That's our show for the week. Best of luck to everyone except for Denny Irvine's Gatorade. This has been a Super Fantasy Football show. We'll be back next week. And until then, Rando, I'll see you in the Froggies.
Take us out, Glow City!